Welcome again to the Toronto indie scene, your front row seat and backstage pass to Toronto's music industry. We have with us Melissa Geramonte from TuneInch Magazine as our industry insider, but it's our special privilege to have with us Dearly Beloved.
Yes, this is Dearly Beloved playing the rock and roll song titled Manifesto.
Dearly Beloved, welcome to IndieCan. Glad you could make it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we listening to that first song we were saying in the control room, the music sounds somewhere between a Greek play and a rock opera. As cool as your, you know, all black outfits look, we were thinking maybe togas would be the way to go.
The colors would be too light. That just doesn't work with my hair.
Adds 10 pounds. Yeah. It's cold in Canada, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose the toga
black
thing
is more slimming.
Yeah. Be good for, well, never mind.
Go on?
No, well, it'll be good for the summer.
Yeah.
Easy access.
Yeah, maybe we'll.
Yeah, that's what I meant, summer.
Yeah, maybe we'll consider that for, you know, the festival circuit in the summer. Some of you have played together before.
Yeah, I mean, everybody is a friend of mine, and Damon and I played together in Change of Heart. Alex and I played together in Doctor. John and I work together closely on his band, Sometimes Why. Neva and I, we know each other very well. We've been friends for a long time, and she played in a band called Sticky Rice, and I worked with her on her album as well in the role of producer. And so bringing everybody into the band, it wasn't accidental, and the people that are here aren't, you know, it wasn't just by default. Everyone is, you know, for John, for example, it was really clear that he is good at soundscaping tones and doing some lead stuff and has done a great job doing that. And Damon has a real unorthodox approach to playing rhythm guitar that I knew would work from the second we thought of the idea. It was just
weird.
A matter of convincing him. Just a matter of convincing him to do it. But I knew the way he approaches music that the sensibility would be exactly what is needed for a song like The Ride. And everyone is, you know, we're here for reasons like that. You know, it's about putting your best foot forward, and it's you know, that's, yeah.
Nina wants to play lead pillow.
Yes. I'm a fan of the pillow.
She's got the pillow guitar. Now, Lorraine at Exclaim deemed you as what, a rock tigress?
I think it was a rock tigress.
You think? You think she doesn't know exactly what she said?
Did everyone else in the band say, hey, I wanted to be the rock tigress?
No. I think she's the only one that wants that title.
I'm happy, you know, it was a tigress and not say, you know, cub or it's something.
Multi-toned hair.
Rock cub?
Yeah, well, I think it's that's very fitting. Garfield, title. Right? The rock Garfield.
Exactly. Yeah, just it's not suck, quite as, you know, sexy.
This is You Are the Jaguar. Now, I get the impression that you like to mess with people's heads. I was reading some of...
what are you talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know who I'm talking about. For instance, you were quoted as saying, the prettiest sounding moments on the record are the darkest in terms of subject matter, and the most brutal and sonically punishing moments are actually the happiest. This is survival art. This is a survival art record.
Sure. Yeah, I'll stand behind that.
And then the interviewer went on to ask the next question. Uh-oh. She was scripted to ask without asking the natural question, which is, what the hell does that mean?
It means if you look at a song like The Butler Routine, it's the prettiest, happiest sounding song on the record, but it's the heaviest and darkest in terms of subject matter. And it punishes me to hear that song. Whereas Acquiesce is sonically the most punishing record on the record, or the most punishing song on the record, but it's a really jubilant song. It's happy. It's finally understanding something in relation to something that you were thinking about, you know, is finally getting a piece of it anyway. So it was really a happy song. But if you listen to it, it sounds like, you know, we want to stab someone in the throat.
It's a big experiment in dichotomies.
It's juxtaposition, and that's really what I was trying to say.
You look like you want to contrast.
Yeah, I like pairing conflict. Those. It creates chaos, which is an area that I'm really comfortable in.
And I think everyone buys into that. Is that fair to say? Like, as a band, like, you know, everyone's on with that.
Well, everyone is good at it, too. It comes naturally to everybody in this band because of our musical experience, that when an idea like that comes around where it's acquiesce, where it's, let's all play beyond the 12th fret together at the same time, because why would you do that? And then when we want to punish everyone, drop down to the 2nd fret in unison together, you know, as a 5-piece group. I mean, it's punishing, and it's jubilant, too, and that's okay. The good thing. Does this translate well in radio when I do this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, note the hands moving back and forth. And survival art?
Yeah, well, it was a tough fucking time, excuse the language, and like that was, making this record got me through it. It's as simple as that.
It was cathartic?
Yeah.
I've seen you live a couple of times. Yeah. And in Toronto, people who know you, the audience really responds to you well. Mm-hmm. You were on the road with aide-de-camp and populars like across the country. Yeah. How did that go? Were there real hot spots and off nights, or was it steady?
Sudbury was hot.
Saskatoon was hot.
Alberta was hot.
No, yeah,
Saskatoon was not.
Some places sucked. That you wouldn't expect, like Gander, Newfoundland, none of us had ever been there. And it was like a really good turnout, good show.
You had what would other people would call a whole tour in Newfoundland. You were there for how long? Yeah. How many shows?
9 days?
A couple weeks, yeah. We had
8 shows, I think, total.
8 shows in 9 days.
Yeah.
You must own that province.
It's amazing how much feedback we've gotten on MySpace and stuff from people there that want us to come back already, and they really appreciated our it's funny that we did this really SCTV-like news piece with a local reporter, and you know, we kind of made fun of it afterwards because it was very much like SCTV. I was expecting there to be a really cheesy graphic right at the place that we were shooting the interview, but the good part is that for days after that, no matter where we went, the people would be like, "Hey, everyone saw you on the news there, by." And I'd be like, "What?
Apparently the news is big out."
Yeah. The guy goes, "The news is really big out here, by."
CTV gets around.
And the whole everybody saw this thing. We pull into a bar, and then there's these older people there at the bar who had obviously been there before, and they looked right at us and were like, "Oh yeah, I saw you in the news there, man." And it just kept happening. Fantastic.
What are the steps to breaking in the States, do you think?
Well, we need some money, and I think that there's going to be an opportunity for us to tour, and tour quite a bit, and I put a little money behind promoting the record there. My impression of the situation that they have worked out, they being our management, is that it's going to come out with something behind it. And I think we just have to tour our asses off, basically. And
it's pretty hard to know what it's going to take to break anywhere. It's just a matter of like Rob's saying, just touring, playing a lot, finding an audience, finding a city or a territory that's responsive, and you know, going back and doing it. And in the meantime, we want to start writing another record as well. We don't really want to sit on one record for a year and a half or 2 years. So, yeah.
Unless you can milk it that long, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, well, that would be nice. But I think it would be prudent at this point to just start writing as much as we can. And
which you've already started doing, right?
Hell yeah. Because we've been sitting around for a few weeks in Toronto, and it's been nice to be able to sit around and just work on some music.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd love to see Dearly Beloved become the next big thing. Who knows?
Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
As long as you do all the work.
Sure.
Well, it does require a lot of work. We were talking about breaking in another territory. Mm. I mean, you can get all the support you want, but you know, you still got to get out there and play in front of 20, and then play in front of 200, and then play in front of 2,000.
Yeah, and I think when people come out to see us, they'll see, you know, that we give it 110% and all our love, and
We think
used
hockey
to play
player.
Hockey. I think I remember. Yeah.
Well, that's it. When it gets tough, we just keep thinking.
She likes
hockey
to get
player,
in the corners.
Yeah, get in the corners. The yeah, person. Yeah, muck it in the corners. Yeah, do whatever it takes. Team spirit.
Yeah, all those cliches come out in the van. It's true.
I'm glad we didn't do the interview there then.
No.
Well, thanks for coming in. Have a great road trip. May you. The wind be at your backs and the weather pleasant. And we'll look forward to the next big thing happening with Dearly Beloved.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. And thanks for having us here. It was fun.
You bet. Sounds great.
This is Dearly Beloved playing The Perils of Snap Decisions.
Editor of Tunage Magazine, and you're listening to IndieCan Radio. Yeah.
on my teeth. The doctor thought I was doing cocaine. I didn't get medical benefits in a small town. And I was born in a small town. Killed my first deer in a small town. Had to look at his head while I ate it, cause my dad mounted him right before my mom cooked him in a small town. Abortion was aborted. I was born in test tube number 13 in a small town. My dad had a vasectomy. I was born 12 months later in a small town.
We just heard Commander Chameleon from their 28-song CD. This is actually a favorite of Melissa, who's going to be with us a little bit later. We heard Small Town. Before that, we heard The Pork Thrashers. The Pork Thrashers were brought to my attention by Raquel at IndieCan, and I got a chance to talk with Mark a little bit about their project. They're quite excited. They've been in touch with Garth Richardson. And if you don't know him, you know the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rage Against the Machine, and Headley. Those are some of the people he's been working with. So we're going to hear a lot more from them. And we started that set with a band called Little Sunday, littlesunday.com. We heard the song Leave, and Mary from Mega Music Toronto got me that CD, and I just loved it. Now, let's see. Commander Chameleon I saw at Toronto Indie Week. I've got another song coming up from Clara LaFarrell, who won Best Pop Artist. She's a Toronto singer-songwriter. She's actually moved to New York, and that's where she put her band together. But they're coming back. They're coming to the Rivoli. So you can check her out at her website, which is claralaferro.com. So here she is.
You're not my mother. You're not my sister. You're not my best friend. You're not my teacher. You're not my brother. You're not my boyfriend. Had to give up everything I want to make it. I've been treading water here for years. Oh, if I crawl out this sink, shall you give me life or take it? My are my best friend. Thanks for your courage. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your constance. Have to give up everything I want.
What's up? This is Darren from The Salads, and I hear it first on the Toronto Indie Scene.
That was indeed The Salads with Growing Up. Thanks, Darren. Thanks to the rest of you, too. Let's see. On deck is our industry insider interview, Melissa from Tunage Magazine. We had the great pleasure to get a little press with Audio Blood Magazine. And I think it's just great what's going on in the indie scene, and it's starting to get a little bit of respect and a little bit of coverage. And my attitude is we're all in this together. And thank you very much for all the support we've gotten from College Radio and for you, the listeners. And we're constantly getting feedback on our website, www.indycan.com, and we think that's just fabulous. We wouldn't do the show without you, and you've come up with some great suggestions. Thank you. So let's get on to Melissa. Melissa, thanks for being on IndyCan. And actually, we're breaking some new ground here because this new remote recording thing I'm doing is kind of new to the show and new to the listeners, and glad you could be a part of it.
Glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Isn't the indie scene neat these days?
It's unbelievable just how much in the past even 5 years that the independent music scene is influencing the broader music industry in general.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And so many exciting artists that are being heard that never had the opportunity before, just to different technological advances.
Yeah, I mean, new opportunities, new challenges, and really, you know, there aren't any experts yet. Everyone's still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be the experts.
Why not? It's like life has a soundtrack for me. I hear a song, I know a place, I know a time. I can, certain songs I remember the first time I heard it. So I knew music had to mean something to me. Now, I'm not musical. I'm not musical
you
whatsoever.
Don't play an instrument?
I don't play an instrument.
You're not
I
in
couldn't
an indie band?
Sing to save my life. I could probably write lyrics to songs if I really tried to. So I was like, okay, I love music, but I'm not musical. What should I do? What are my choices? My niche is writing about music. And I started as kind of a music journalist, I guess, about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Started off writing CD reviews and concert reviews for different online and print publications. I also did some interviews with musicians. One of my first interviews was with a Canadian independent artist, Masari, mm-hmm. who's made a lot of waves all across the world in the urban music field. And he was pretty much one of my first music interviews. And it just took off from there. And in writing for other people, I started to realize that my age group and my demographic weren't being addressed in the music media, especially in the online music media. And that's when Tunage was born.
That when you decided you were going to write what you wanted to hear.
I was going to write about what I wanted to hear. My other, not that I have a problem with it, but I was finding a lot of the music media, magazines, e-zines, etc., that mm-hmm. deal with independent music, talk down to the readers and are very condescending and very opinionated, the whole hipster mentality. And I'm from the school of thought that I like what I like and I don't feel I have to justify it.
Yeah.
And I'd like to share with people what I like, and if they like it, hey, they'll go out and check it out. If they don't like it, oh well, they learned something new. And that was like my mandate with Tunage, was to address the, like, our demographic, our main demographic is 25 to 40.
Yeah.
People who know what they like, whether it be commercial or independent,
yep.
but are still open to learning about new artists.
Right.
And being in
They're
Toronto.
They're not totally jaded. They haven't gone to talk radio yet.
No, totally. And there are a lot of people my age that do like all different kinds of music. And they'll be as likely to pick up the next U2 album as they'd be to pick up the next Salads album.
Right.
So it, people's tastes, and with technology like the internet, new music is just easier to access. Websites like MySpace and the whole podcast phenomenon, you're no longer restricted to what's on your local airwaves.
Yeah, everything is new again.
Yep.
You know, it's like a new frontier.
You're not restricted to terrestrial radio any longer. There are so many options with online streaming of radio stations across the world. You can see what other stations are doing. Just this whole new world has been opened up to people, and they're loving it.
What are your favorite indie bands right now?
Oh gosh, it changes constantly.
That's why I asked right now. What did you listen to this week and really say, wow, I love that?
There's an indie band that is actually not from Canada that I've been listening to a lot right now. They're from Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. but they want to move to Canada.
Controller.
Actually, no, not Athens, Georgia, not Atlanta. They're called... Commander Chameleon.
Commander Chameleon, yes. They
met them at Indie Week.
Indie Week,
and their CD is probably, you know, when you read a publication and they talk about the best bands you've never heard of?
Yeah.
And who to look out for? I think they've got the potential to be one of those bands. And they're doing something different, but they're great musicians and doing something really fun. In terms of Canadian acts, Life Theoretic, which is a local band, mm-hmm. absolutely adore them. For anyone who likes Incubus mm-hmm. and bands like that, Life Theoretic is Toronto's answer to that. Not that they're copying a band like Incubus, but they have that similar feel. They're very clearly influenced by the early 90s alternative rock bands like Stone Temple Pilots and stuff like that, and they're just phenomenal, and they draw a huge crowd, and their CD is great, and on stage they're even better.
Cool.
So they're one of them. Tenth Planet is another personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, I like
them.
They sent me their stuff, and I spun a tune of theirs right away.
Yeah,
I just really
and
dug
they're
because it. It's different, right?
Exactly.
But still melodic, right?
Exactly. The melodic heavy rock seems to be having a renaissance right now, and personally, that's not necessarily my favorite kind of music, but the music I'd listen to the most. So I'm really enjoying that right now. I have to say, though, there are certain commercial stations that are very supportive of Canadian talent mm-hmm. and fostering new Canadian talent, and I'm very lucky in that sense that Standard Broadcasting, which I work for, is very supportive of Canadian talent and fostering and promoting it, and just with everything that they're involved in, really seem to be continuing that trend, especially with satellite radio and programming a 100% Canadian content station, half of which is independent music.
Well, I'm all for that.
Yes, and it's a great station, and there's something for everyone on there. It's Iceberg 95. If any of you have a Sirius radio, check it out. It's well worth listening to.
Can't you get a free sample or something?
You can get a free 3-day trial. Actually, if you go to tunage.ca, we have a link to free trials on there.
Okay.
And it's an online streaming free trial. And if you like it, there's always great deals on the actual receivers. And for people who are interested enough in satellite radio, the monthly cost is worth it.
It's like buying a CD a month, right?
That's exactly.
That's
about
cost.
$15 a month, or they also have options for lifetime memberships, where you pay, I don't know the exact dollar amount, but say it's $500.
Yeah.
And you never have to pay another monthly fee again, which it's great. And it's just, again, technology and where it's taking us. And a lot of people were anti-technology with the music industry, and if anything, I think the people that embraced it are really benefiting from it.
Oh, it's making it a beautiful world. It's just,
yes,
I mean, I meet people online every day from all different parts of the world sharing their music with me, and how cool is that?
Yeah,
it's like a festival every day.
Exactly. There's always something new.
Yeah,
nothing is overplayed, or nothing gets old anymore.
So what are your goals or objectives with your magazine? Do you have like a game plan where you eventually want to grow into something, or is it just a voice for stuff that's in your head?
I think Tunage has a bright future. I think it has a very bright future. We just launched at the end of June. We currently have a staff of about 12 writers, 5 to 6 of which are regular contributors.
Yeah.
Everyone that's involved in Tunage has a day job.
Yeah.
This is fun. This is something on the side for them. Just a voice, a much needed voice, targeting an audience that's otherwise neglected or feels that they've been stuck with, you know, music like Shania Twain and Celine Dion or Michael Bolton, because that's all that's been marketed to them. So opening up this whole other world of possibilities, a lot of my age group is cool now, whereas in the past they were, you know, they were mothers and they were, you know, homemakers.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of people that want to keep in touch with music and the club scene and don't want to give that up and keep being a part of it. We're going to have our first contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give out any of the details of it yet.
Tease us, why don't you?
Okay, what I will do, the contest will coincide with a new column that is launching. We've started with very small columns to start. Right now, we're very much focused on feature articles, but our big sections are CD and concert reviews.
Right.
Just because that's what has been requested of us so far. Mm-hmm. We haven't actively started soliciting things, really.
Yeah.
Everyone's been coming to us, and this has all been word of mouth. There have been no official press releases. It's been all friends and family and peers within the music industry, people that I've met over the years that have heard about it, like what it's doing, and keep spreading the word. So our first contest will be, the new column is a song lyric challenge.
Oh.
So it'll be a monthly column. I've got a really great writer who will be contributing to it. Her name's Eileen Samet. And she's come up with a really fun one for the first one. And there'll be band swag mainly to start out.
Yeah.
Until we get to a point where we can give out bigger and better prizes. But what's like better than band swag?
Like a serious receiver.
That would be nice. But, you know, to start out, it'll be CDs or t-shirts,
yeah,
or, and really funky ones too. I have to say the prize is really funky, but I'm not going to give too much away. You have to go to tunage.ca to find out.
Okay, well, I already elicited more out of you than you had signed up for, so thanks.
Oh, no problem at all. This has been wonderful.
I was about to say thanks for coming in, but of course here we are sitting in your office.
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem, anytime at all, and keep doing what you guys are doing.
Absolutely, yeah, we'll be talking more, lots more. Thanks.
Definitely.
We all need an angel in our corner, and we all need a good friend to warn us. Some days I feel so strong. Superman, but love or kryptonite.
the Sunshine Song.
That was the Darns, and before that, the Jim Armstrong Band. We're going all the way back to episode 2 for that one. Let's see. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Next week, we have Tacoma Red, and tagging along will be IndyCan fan Mo Berg. That'll be a great show. We'll see you next week.
Just
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Indie Scene, an Indie Can Music production.
For more information on the artists featured on today's show, visit indiecan.com.